following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We're going to talk about biblical love versus worldly love. Uh-oh. Also, I came across a very interesting passage in the Old Testament, so we're going to discuss a tax issue, and then we're going to finish out, because we're close to Easter, with There's No Bones About It.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. I really feel like I've got my radio voice going. I've got that deep talking from my diaphragm voice. I kind of like it. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, 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 we're asking you, what do you think? 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. Any topic is, of course, open for conversation as long as you're not losing it. It's kind of how we think of things here. Just keep in mind, it's not professional radio, and I'm going to prove that in about 45 seconds. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Couple of things to tell you before we do our sponsorship. Let me tell you right now that I am having technological hell. Okay, not real hell, but technological disadvantages. I want to thank Jennifer, who coordinates everything that takes place at this station at KAAM 770. If you guys are praying for somebody, you should be praying for Jennifer, who brings all threads together, production-wise and everything else, and she's been working with me, and I've had a podcast issue. And she loaded up the podcast, and it won't appear. Now, you're thinking, well, gee, Dave, that just sounds like, you know, user error. No, it's David error. I have a magnificent personality, so much so that my wife even calls me Magneto.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Exactly. See, I touch something, and it goes the wrong direction technologically. And if you think I'm kidding, my wife and I have the same phone, the same computer, the same everything, and we'll be doing something at the same time, and I will turn my computer to her and say, look, and mine just is like, it's like outer limits. It's like the line is buzzing up and down.
Don't.
It's incredible. And so I just want to thank Jennifer for her patience as, yeah, once again, the things that I'm working with go, it's not that they go south. That would not be a fair estimation. They go deep into the core of the earth where there's lava. That's how down far they're going. It's nutty, nutty. Number two, our bumper stickers came in. I'm sending my first one over to our good friend Leonard, who's been a real big support for the show. Our bumper stickers, if you want to see them, you can go to YouTube and then type in David Spoon Media or Facebook, David Spoon Media. It says he created the universe. He can write a book.
All right.
I like it. It looks cool. I'll put it on my car. Now, some people might not like it. I've talked to my son, and we've got – so it says David Spoon Media at the bottom, and we've got to update the site because he's got a really cool, slick-looking site, but he doesn't have any of the info up. You know, it's like a consistently – it's a work. It never stops, right, folks? It doesn't stop. Come on. It doesn't. All right. Let's call attention to our sponsors. I happen to know for a personal fact that our sponsors are doing something very special for Easter, both of them. So I'm still going to give them a shout out. I know they're probably not going to hear it, but I want them to know. First, we're going to go with our Italian gal. People get...
when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
I just like that song.
I love that. I do too. And for people that get offended because you're saying, hey, you keep saying she's Italian, that really seems wrong. Hey, I got one word for you. It's really important. Ready? Tough. Okay, anyway. See, that's. You see how kind and compassionate we are? We are thoughtful. Look at. She's proud. I think it's cool. And besides, I love pizza. What? How can you have any problems here? It's Pamela Melchione. And that is a great song for her. It's just fantastic. Here's the deal. Her website is being produced. So I've told you it's the blessedrealtycompany.com website, but they're still putting it together. So I'm going to tell you, if you just need to talk to somebody and get some info, if you want to get a value on what your house is without doing an obligation, if you want to get an idea of what it's going to cost to get into a house without getting the runaround, getting the actual numbers, no charge, no cost for you to get these evaluations, no cost to have a sit-down counsel, zero. What do they call that when they have a sit-down counsel? It's the consigliere or something like that. There's no cost. 8-1, so you don't owe her a favor. That's the direction we're going for sure. You don't owe her a favor. 817-505-5541. 817-505-5541. Pamela Melchione. 817-505-5541. She is very good friends, exceedingly good friends, engaged friends, with our next sponsor, John.
Big John. Big John.
From the Blessed Roofing Company. Now, I don't know if you, by chance, were driving yesterday or today. I drove in today from Fate, Texas, into Irving. Man alive. Man, I'm telling you, Texas does things big. I couldn't see 15 feet in front of me going 75 miles an hour. Is that like that's like the end time storm? It's like that storm never ends. So I was driving down the road, and I know people are there. You got damage, and I used to have a friend say to me, "Well, you don't want to wait until your big screen TV blows up to have your roof inspected." Get it? You get it? You don't want water dripping down the side of your wall, so that you can go, "Hey, I could have a problem here." Probably want to find out ahead of time. That's where I'm going. 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED. What a great phone number. 469-BLESSED, theblessedroofingcompany.com is the website. You want to talk to John, free inspections. He'll talk to you, sit down with you, go over it. In almost all the cases, it's zero out of pocket. It's like, come on. It's not going to cost you anything. It's either going to be a roof replacement, roof repairs, whatever the case may be. And what if he goes there and he looks at your roof and your roof is fine? You know what John will tell you? See, he's a man of character. John will say, okay, your roof's fine. You want somebody to be able to say that. Now, not every situation's the last, you know, most desperate situation. Okay. Took care of that. We've got a couple of really intense things. We're going to be talking about biblical love versus worldly love. We're going to be talking also, I want to talk about taxes. I came across this really interesting passage in 2 Kings. I think people will enjoy it. We're going to talk about Easter. But before we do that, I want to talk about something very, very important. And that is the words that we use to speak to one another, whether they are life or death. I'm going to pick on my wife for a second because we pick on each other. Okay, I pick on her on the show. And then in her mind, she has a radio show and she picks on me. See how that works? So it's fair because the Lord knows what's going on in your heart. So it all works out evenly. Anyway, she has she's been working really hard. She's also been on a pretty strict diet, so she's losing weight. And she's always looked just fantastic. She looks just, you know, she just looks stellar. She always has looked stellar. And she said to me, I had come back from the gym. I had run 3 miles. I had done weights. I had done buys, tries. I had done chests, right? I'd done everything. I did the massage chair because I need that. And she said, everything on you looks fantastic. She said, except right there in that middle section between, you know, your chest and your belly button.
Oh, bacon.
Apparently, that's my problem, only it's either chocolate or tacos. Because I'm having a really hard time. And so she was lovingly trying to say, I love you, honey. And now I love you even more. Because there's more to love. Because apparently I have grown in my midsection. So what does that mean? Well, typically, now I'm just bagging on her a little bit, so don't get all serious on me here. So anyway, typically when your spouse tells you you need – your spouse is the last person. Your person, your boyfriend, your girlfriend – well, you would think it would be your kids, but only up to 10 years old and then only over 30 years old. They would be the last people to tell you, chunky size is coming home to roost. Because it's like you're looking bigger. And when they tell you that, that's your motivation. So now I've decided I'm going to lose weight. But before I lose weight, just to let everybody know, I have determined to eat as much as I can before my deadline. Exactly. Can you say cannoli? I can. I'm just saying. And so here's my theory. Tell me what you think of this theory, okay? Here's what I'm going with. I know you're sitting there listening. What has this got to do with Christian teaching? Hey, this is my life, okay? And I'm a Christian. Here's my theory. I'm going to eat as much as I can until I give a date where I have to start dieting.
Oh, bacon.
Here's the problem. The problem is I've done this 15 times in the last 3 weeks. That's the problem. I keep setting the date back. One more day. One more day. On Monday. You ever do that one? On Monday, I'm going to start it. On Friday, you pick a day. You know what I'm saying? We do that for New Year's and stuff like that. There's no time like the present in the sense that even Scripture says today is the day. I got to get going on it. I need a little bit of work in that area, spiritual and physical discipline. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We're coming back to talk about love.
Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car.
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh. It's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly. He's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED. Because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name. The Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right. Let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs, whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections. I'll call John at 469-BLESSED or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered because reliability starts at the top.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What can you do? Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off to spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to let you know, Facebook, you go to David Spoon Media, YouTube. See, I didn't say the, Joshua. YouTube, go to David Spoon Media. Email davidspoonmedia at gmail.com. There's a bunch of different ways to get there and to communicate with us, so we appreciate that. Let's see of the important things. So next week, on Wednesday, we have James Robeson going to be on the show. Excited, yes. We also have several other authors that are heading our direction, which is kind of cool. I'm liking that. I love doing interviews, just for people to know. I really enjoy talking to people and asking them, like, serious questions. I think it's cool. But now that we've done some of our fun stuff and now that I got that out of my system, which is what Don Crawford really wants me to do, get it out of my system. We got to get into a more serious nature of things, and so we do so, and I want to talk to you a little bit about love. And there is right now in our society a interesting phenomena that takes place. It takes place with magazines. It takes place with cable news. It takes place with newspapers and different outlets of communication, and that is that they cherry pick. And if you don't know what cherry picking is, that means that they pick the very things that will assist or aid them in whatever it is their cause is in order to bolster their positions. And there has been some cherry picking going on in regards to scripture and in regards to what Jesus says and in regards to love. We are going to spend an entire week. What? Talking about judge and judging in the future, because people go around going, oh, don't judge me, man. Oh, don't judge me, man. I had somebody sitting in a jail cell who had committed theft against a church, had gone out behind his wife, slept with his girlfriend, stole all the money from the church, got caught, was extradited, is in jail, and the first thing he says to me is, don't judge me, man.
Oh, that's silly.
That is silly, because first of all, we judge all the time, just so you can know when you made a decision for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, you made a judgment. Sorry, I can't change it. When you decided strawberry ice cream, not chocolate, you made a judgment. Sorry. So we're going to spend an entire time doing that, as well as understanding – an entire week doing that, as well as understanding that judgment is not the way they perceive it, but they just cherry-pick one part. Judge not, lest ye be judged. That's all they use. They don't even use the rest of the verse or the rest of the context, which is with the measure you use, that's the measure that it's going to be used against you. You've got to get what's in your eye removed so that you can clearly see to make those evaluations. Oh, see, they don't tell you that part. Same Jesus that said that also said, judge ye righteous judgment. Uh-oh. Guess we're going to be looking at scripture on that. But in the meantime, we're going to jump in on love, because love is where it's at. All right? I was in California at a Chick-fil-A and standing in line in concert with Chick-fil-A, because the idea that they support Christian causes makes them evil is stupid. Did I say stupid? Can I use that word? Dumb. Okay, I'll use dumb instead of stupid. And so they had it's California, man. So there was like 1,000 people at Chick-fil-A, and there was 2 protesters. two. And one of them had a sign. And the news crew comes barreling in, right? News crew comes in. And do they talk to the 1,000 people in line? No. First of all, we're all waiting for lunch, so probably not a good idea. But they only talked to the protesters, and the protester girl said, and I quote,
"It's all about love, man. It's all about love."
Here's the thing that's interesting about "it's all about love" is there's a significant difference between worldly love and biblical love. In the times of the Bible, in the times of the New Testament, specifically in the Greek culture, there were four key words for love. There was the word eros, there's the word storge, there is the word that comes from philia, or Philadelphia, as you would know it, city of brotherly love, and there is agape, or agapeo. These four loves are a fascinating picture because in our universe, we use the word love, and it has multiple applications. In the universe of the Greek culture, eros love is sexual, is erotic, is attractiveness. It is all of those things that you would think it is, and it is never used in the New Testament. When there is a – it's not that it's wrong to be attracted. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That's not the love that God is requiring Christians to operate in. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm just separating what those differentials are so you don't mix it, because what we do is we take the word love and we dump a bunch of spices in there, and then we dump a bunch of, you know, sauces in there, and we whip it up and we go, look, that's love. And it's like, no, that's not exactly how that goes. So storge is another term, and that's a family love, a family affection. That is the love that people have, although scripturally it's talked of negatively. In the cultural element, it has to do with a family love and a loyalty to family. It's not negative in its overall approach, but it is a family love. It is where, you know, blood is thicker than water kind of mindset comes from. Okay. Then there is philia. Philia is a brotherly love. And while we are encouraged towards a sense of philia, there is very, very few scriptures that talk about philia the way you think it does, specifically because philia was only used twice by Jesus, that for Lazarus and that for the disciple whom he loved, who was John. So you'd think that Jesus would use it all the time, but not so. Agape is, in fact, the primary love that Christians operate from. There have been some scholars that have come out and said agape is not really possible for Christians to do yet. That's funny because God commands it over 50 times in the New Testament for us to do it. So, okay, that's not exactly right that we can't do it. But what you can't do is agape love without God. Therein lies the problem. Let me read to you from William Barclay. William Barclay was an absolute distinguished scholar, and he wrote this two lines. I'm just going to read these lines. They're really, really effective, and it'll really help you understand what's going on. Agape has to do with the mind. It's not simply an emotion which rises unbidden and untied to our hearts. It is the principle by which we deliberately live. It is the kind of love that we must have for all men, even our enemies. The Christian must always act out of love, the best interests of his fellow human beings. It is a love of decision and choice. So there are people that think, well, because you're supposed to love me because Jesus says love everybody, that means you have to accept me the way that I am. Yeah, except Jesus didn't say that. And that's the problem. And you get people like Time Magazine and Newsweek and CNN and MSNBC and even Fox News, folks, and everybody else who will say, well, you're supposed to love everybody, so therefore we have to be all-inclusive. Jesus never, ever, ever said that. That is a lie. What Jesus said most clearly is that anybody who would come to him has to alter or change their projection or their trajectory, what is it, trajectory? That the direction they're going. If you look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus gives us in the first chapter alone 9 behavioral transformations that he's requiring. There is no, I just accept everybody and love everybody and it's peace and I'm just smoking grass and I'm walking around, I'm a hippie and I'm in a tie-dye shirt. That does not exist in the New Testament. Real love has the boldness to say to one another, if you don't turn and get right with God, you're going to go to hell. That's real love. You think, well, that seems so mean. Too bad. Because the idea that we're supposed to support and sponsor sinful behavior is insanity. And not that dumb definition that everybody else gives. Here's the bottom line. Jesus told the woman caught in adultery. Watch this. Remember the woman? She was caught in adultery, John chapter 8. Jesus said, has anybody condemned you? Nope, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin as much as you want because I don't care. Just do whatever you want to do. La, 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 la. Hey, guess what? Jesus didn't say that. He said, go and sin no more. You see, that's why Jesus came around saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why John the Baptist said, repent. That's why Peter said, repent. That's why Paul said, repent. Because every one of us has to make a change, a turn towards the Lord. And our behavior has to conform with his behavior. True agape love is in response to God's commands of obedience to God. And this notion that you're supposed to, well, you're just supposed to love people no matter where they're at in such a way that what? That they don't change from their sinful life? That's a lie. And if they tell you that, I don't care if they tell you that in church, I don't care if they tell you that in seminary, it's wrong. Love is taking that decisive action to say the best interest of this human being is for them not to maintain this sinful life. That's love. There's not one person that Jesus said, hey, keep on sinning. Hey, I think it's great you do this contrary to God. Keep it going. That doesn't exist. Real love says, hey, man, you got to change it. The problem is how we do it. We do it kind of lousy. I think you know that. I think we'll pick up a little bit on how you do that when we come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station, right here in Texas. Taking a short break. We'll be back.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored, impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now, and you can get a second second commercial whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own commercial whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Texas, where it's kind of wet. Well, at least it was wet for my drive anyway. It's a big state, so I don't think it's raining everywhere. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. I want to get right back into this because I don't want to lose the edge that I think people need to understand. We were talking about biblical love versus worldly love, and worldly love is just all,
if it feels good, do it, man.
Have you ever run into that? I mean, I used to read High Times. I mean,
does it feel good? Do it.
That's great, unless the person feels good, like taking somebody's life. Oh, that doesn't apply then, huh? All right. Here's the problem. The problem is not that Christians don't have plenty to work with. The problem is the spirit with which we work with. And I think I took a decent amount of time saying, hey, look at this is biblical. You got agape, you got storge, you've got phileo, you've got eros. This is the love that God requires. It's a love of decision. It's a love of action. If you think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave his begotten son. The sacrificial giving was a decision. It was an act. It was for the benefit of, it was for our benefit, so to speak. So you can understand that love is a very powerful love, and I can use that in regards to the love that I might have for my son, in the sense that when he's about to do something wrong, part of my love for him is protecting him, right? I mean, if my son's sitting there and he's getting ready to touch a hot oven, what do you do? You tell him, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's going to hurt you. And then he goes to do it again. You say, don't do that. Or when your child's about to cross the street, you say, hey, you have to look both ways, or you could get hurt, right? That's is that love? That's the height of love. You're making sure that you're speaking to that person, even though it's your child, for their benefit, for their well-being. And that's what agape should be doing. The problem is not that. The problem is how we do that. Let's not play the Christian game, okay? I'm not wearing a tie or a suit, not because I don't respect the Lord, but because I'm going to the gym after I'm done, okay? I'm being honest. And Christians sometimes beat other people with the truth. Now, what I'm speaking to now, it's not that we have people who are non-Christians who listen to the show who are atheist and agnostic. Because they think it's weird, right? Cool. This address is not to them. This address is to Christians who use the Bible like bullets and shoot people. I was like, that is not how Jesus did it. When Jesus told somebody something, including the woman in John chapter 8, he had genuine care and compassion for the person. And I think what misses for Christians is not our ability to say, look, I think that what you're doing has got a danger to it. I understand you're trying to find happiness, trying to find your identity. I get it. But, the Lord's not doesn't approve of that. His scripture's clear in that. I really don't want something bad to happen. If there was a passionate way to communicate it or a loving way to communicate it, it is that. If there was a method to communicate it that didn't make Christians look like they were just pharisaical all the time, that's where you should be heading. Because to tell somebody they're doing it wrong just so you can be right or just so I can be right, it's not healthy. That's a danger all unto ourselves. This part wasn't really planned, but I just really believe this is important. That in our minds, there's nothing wrong with knowing the truth, but I think there could be a problem with the way we present the truth. if you're talking about presenting the truth on something like a cable television show or something, all the sound bites are really tight and really short, so you have to just say it and boom, boom. But when you're talking to somebody who's in your life, if you have somebody that's in your life that has a lifestyle that's contrary to scripture and you're just like, you just want them to do better, talk to them. Don't talk at them. Talk to them. Because if you don't care, they're going to know that. And that, I think, is a big difference between when Jesus said something to somebody and we say something. You know, when the scripture says he was friends of the sinners and the drunkards, it doesn't mean that he went there and got drunk and sinned with them. But he cared. He had a genuine concern for them. He didn't want them to perish and didn't want them to turn away from God. He wanted them to turn towards God. And I think for Christians, it's okay to say, you know, I don't have to accept that kind of behavior. I don't have to approve of homosexuality because the world does, but I don't have to use it in such a way as to scream out, you know, things at people while I'm at some kind of protest. I think that's kind of bizarre. There was an article of talking about Booty Gary. I can't never remember that guy's name.
Buttigieg.
That guy. I'll just do that.
Buttigieg.
I'll just use you for that. I'm not, you know. And somebody in the back of the room screamed out, Sodom and Gomorrah! Sodom and Gomorrah! Hey, guess what's not going to help this guy ever get to the truth? That. Right? And I'm just being for, I'm just being, I'm not telling you not to share the truth, but there is a way to do it. So I will tell you an example. You won't like it, but it's what happened. I can't change it. So there was a picnic that I went to with my kids when my kids were younger, and it was probably about six or seven families all from the church, and we were all together, and everybody prayed over the food, and they're playing, and we're sitting down. And anytime you're doing stuff like that, this was back in the days when I was in Arizona. Anytime you're doing that, you're not schwitzing, which is sweating, and that means it's a nice day in Arizona because most of the time it's 155,000 degrees. And you're like, is this kind of like what hell's like? Anyway, so the idea there was that we were having a good time. And all of a sudden, these three people come up on the top of a ridge, and one of them has a megaphone. And from a distance, they pulled up the megaphone, and they proceeded to – or okay. They attempted to tell everybody what terrible, godless sinners we all were. Which was pretty funny because it was a kind of a church staff thing. It was like, so as I am prone to do, which is why being a lawyer would have been the worst thing ever. I went up to them and said, did you even ask us who we are, what we believe, what we think? Do you have any clue at all what's going on? Do you just pick up the thing and just start, you know, kind of yelling stuff and because you think that that's the way to do it? I mean, when John the Baptist did stuff like that, he did it under the direction of the Holy Spirit. What are you doing it under? Because they didn't even ask. So they were telling all of us who were all all those people there were 10 times better Christians than I am or was. But the point is that there was no engagement. It was just a brutal assault without thought. I was like, well, that's not the spirit to do that in. It's not that you have to be Mamsie Pansy? Is that what that's that phrase, right? Mamsie Pansy. I don't care. Does that offend you? Shut the radio off. I don't care. But it's not you got to be like that. It's not like you got to be like, oh, why? I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not saying that. There's a big difference between being led by the spirit, sharing the truth, and being a jerk. Don't be a jerk. That's all. Just be a person who has a genuine care. You tell the truth endlessly, never, ever shy away from speaking the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. The Lord's word is truth. The same thing we say all the time. He created the universe. He can write a book. Share that. But don't take the book and beat them on the head until they're unconscious. Share it the way that it's supposed to be shared. Now, if the situation calls for it and it's a circumstance like that, I don't have a problem with that. But to do nothing but load up the Bible bullets and shoot, I have a problem with that. That's immaturity. That's what that is. And Scripture is quite clear about that. 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I acted like a child, I did childish things. When I became an adult, I put those things away. There's a wisdom to it. When you have a fire hydrant, somebody told me this a long time ago. When you have a fire hydrant, if you just take the cap off, the water goes crazy, right? So what do? You put a connector hose on it. It has a nozzle, and you direct the water specifically so it can have the best impact. There you go. Use that analogy. Use it that way.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's the way to do that. So I encourage you. I encourage you to speak the truth, recognize your job is not to, you know, the idea, well, you have to accept me because Jesus said, love me. I am loving you. Repent and come to the Lord and make a conscious decision to turn your heart towards the Lord. And let's pray together and do that right now. That is love. Not, oh, do whatever you want. You know, God's not some grandpa up in a rocking chair. Well, I hate saying grandpa. God's not some great grandpa up in a rocking chair going, well, kids will be kids. You know, it's like that. It's not how that goes. All right? I'm off the horse, right? I'm off the high horse. I got like 4 minutes left, so I got to tell you a couple things real quickly. One, today is Juggler's Day. Do you think that's useless information? Me too. Today is also High Five Day. Incorrectly assumed that a high five came from a sporting event. That's not true. But it's cute. So these are the kind of cool things. And then here's a cool fact. I'd have you call in, but we're not going to have time, so I'm just being honest with you. But I will ask Wonder Julie, just to ask her, because she's not going to know, but maybe she can guess it. Wonder Julie, do you know what the first color in the Bible is mentioned? First color. Just take a shot at it.
Black.
No. Is black a color? Is that a shade or what? I don't even know, but that was... I did not see you going there. Not saying anything about the psychological profile.
I just thought it was dark before it was light.
Well, no, that's a very good point, I got to say. No. The first color is Genesis 1:30. It's green. The first color is green because of the green plants. Well, just a little piece of information. All right. I'm going to share this one thing, and then we're going to do a little resi information on the next segment. We got like, what, 2 minutes, 3 minutes? 2 minutes. Let me do this fast. Real fast. Super fast. Let me do this. I might have to go an extra 30 seconds if that's okay. Can I do that? Okay, good. All right. I want to talk to you quickly about flat tax or no tax or taxes just quickly. Just a thought. Don't get weird on me. You know how we're supposed to pay tithes, which is 10%, but you notice how tithes doesn't change whether you have $1 million or a dollar or $100,000 or $50 billion or $60 trillion. It's always 10%. A little more evidence for a flat tax than not, but here's the path. Passage I came across that just made me think, wowzer. Here it is in 2 Kings 15. It says, but Menahem did what was evil in the Lord's sight, and during his entire reign he refused to turn from the sins of idolatry that Jeroboam of Nebat had led Israel to commit. The king of Assyria invaded the land, but Menahem paid him 37 tons of silver to gain support in tightening his grip on royal power. Then he extorted the money from the rich of Israel, demanding that each of them pay 20 ounces of silver in the form of a special tax. So here's a guy who's evil, and because he's, you know, taking it, he's losing money and gripping power, he creates a special tax on the rich and extorts it from them. Now, I was just thinking in my brain, how many politicians would support this kind of activity? If they would, just remember they're not biblical because this guy did what was evil in the Lord's sight, extorting money from the rich people in Israel, and then called it a special tax. Where have I heard this before? Just something to kick around for you. Just a little fun. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break and coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company.
Two
things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
There's no need to fear.
Order back
is here.
Josh and Ash are feeling bummed, plus all their friends are being dumb. That's when they need some joy and fun, which they can get from their amazing son, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear. When things seem to be going wacky, he's the spoon that makes them happy. Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. We are getting gift cards. Ooh. Now I should really ask Wonder Julie, because she's going to suffer the most taking phone calls. But we're thinking about getting five $20 gift cards. What do you think? I think five $20 gift cards versus like two $50 ones. It gives more people a chance to win. It's a $20 gift card. They can use it for food or they can use it to buy Kleenex. I don't know.
Oh, so it's like a Visa gift card.
Yeah, right. Cool. So it kind of open door. There might be one in there that's a foodie. I got to ask my wife. She's the one that's going to coordinate. She just tells me what it is.
$20 sounds good. Don't be greedy.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right? That's not too shabby. All right, so it's Easter, not tomorrow, but this weekend's Easter weekend. And I want to make sure, so I'm going to do a little bit today and a lot more tomorrow. Although that tax thing that we just talked about, that is pretty funny. Extorting money on the rich and then calling it a special tax.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
I used to love that. That was my favorite one with the little Bill, and he'd sit down on the stairs, right?
Sitting there on Capitol Hill.
You know? I mean, it's just so good. I mean, I'd like something like that. All right. Anyway, what can you do? Let's talk a little bit about Easter. So the coolest thing about Easter, there's so many cool things, and you will hear me say this multiple times, and that is if you have heard 100 messages regarding Easter, you're lucky. And if you get to hear 100 more, you're lucky. People are like,
well, I've heard the message over and over and over and over again.
Brother, if you really understood, sister, if you really grasped the depth of the message, you would recognize that resurrection from the dead is some serious stuff. Okay? If you've ever had anybody in your life pass on, ever, you know how dramatic and traumatic death can be. But that Jesus broke that power through his life is incredible. And so by the grace of God, may you hear the Easter story over and over and over again. We did a poll, kind of a non-scientific poll. You know, what's really the most important? You've got Christmas. You've got the creation of man. You've got Christmas. You got Easter. You know, what's really most important to you? And you can come up with, oh, the answer is this theologically. The answer is this theologically. That part doesn't matter. Why it was important for most people in regards to Easter was simply this. Because it meant that everything that Jesus said was true and that there was a hope beyond what we can see. And that gives people the ability to move forward. I love stuff like that. Now, you can argue on that non-scientific poll, but it was interesting because it was a pretty good split. You'd never guess in a million years where I came out. But the idea is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is such a powerful event. You recognize, I hope, that people spend and have spent most of their lives trying to communicate the fountain of youth. I got a chance to talk to Tiffany about this the other day. Like, people are looking for the fountain of youth. Why? Because they want to live forever. Well, first of all, living forever sounds great, unless living forever and it's bad, then that's terrible, right? So you want living forever to be a good thing. And when Jesus resurrected, and then especially he shows himself in Revelation in this unique state to John, you know that this is all, it's all good. That's what you know. So you're talking about eternity. That's good. So I want to focus on a passage. And to me, this is one of the great resurrection passages that exists. It's actually found in 2 Timothy 1, 9 through 10. Not typically where you'd think I'd be calling it from. It says this: He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I could preach on this for 20 hours. I don't have 20 hours, but I could. He saved us and called us. First thing it says, not because of anything we have done. God did not save you because of your great wisdom, your great insights, your good looks, your smart this, your... No. He saved you because of his own purpose and grace. Every time you think you deserve it, pull out the mirror and look deeper. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. He saved us because of his purpose, because of his grace. Remember, grace, unmerited favor, can't earn it. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. If you want to just fall off the rails, just think about that. Okay, grace was given to you before time started. What? Yeah, before there was a clock. Not just a clock, before there was a season. Not just a season. Exactly. Before there was a sun. I mean, a sun is in the solar system. It's like, what? Before any of that. Before the foundation of the earth. Oh, man, my head hurts. But here's the part, and that all that, we could talk about that for hours. But here's the cool part, verse 10. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior and Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What does that mean, to bring it to light? Did you ever walk in a dark room? What do? Okay, you turn on the switch or you turn on the lamp, right? What happens? You can see. It might be a mess, but you can see, right? That's what Jesus did regarding eternal life. That's what Jesus did regarding immortality. He flipped the switch. Everybody was talking about theories and concepts all the way through. And if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12, you understand that God put eternity in the hearts of men, but also the knowledge that man could not attain it. Ooh. But Jesus comes along and says, now you can. So he destroys death. See, death had bigger teeth, but Jesus punched death in the mouth. And he brought to life immortality, and he brought it to light so that you and I can go, wait, this isn't theoretical. Why do we know that? Because we point to, get ready, an empty tomb. Not a tomb with bones. Oh, look, there's the bones of our prophet. That didn't go very well for him, did it? Apparently not. In our case, we point to an empty tomb. There are no bones. That's what's so cool about our faith. Guess what? Nothing there. Why? Because death couldn't hold them back. We have the bones of this person, bones of this person, this religious person, this religious person. Ours isn't a religious person. Ours is God himself going, yeah, I created you. I can terminate you. I can lift you up and I can put you down. Want to follow me? I got the answers. Like, okay, I'm following that guy. Why? Well, because he destroyed death and he brought life and immortality to light, so I can actually seize that. I don't have to think in my heart I want to live forever, but I never will. I want to live forever, and now I can through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to have a big party. It doesn't have to be big theological anything. You just simply need to ask Jesus into your heart to take up residency, to live there, and to open up your life to his influence, his input, and to see that his sacrifice for you on the cross enabled you to have fellowship with God forever. And he simply requires you to receive the gift of life he's offered to you through his own sacrifice. Even if you're a believer, you should love that story every single time it's told. Because without it, you wouldn't exist. And you certainly wouldn't be going to heaven. Get it? Cool. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break and then come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.